Galatians chapter 1. And keep your finger there and go to John chapter 9 verse 25. The scripture says, "But I know this, I was blind and now I can see." Very few Christians are great theologians. And all, out of all the people whom I know, and none of them can say that I memorized the entire Bible, every verse is in the Bible. None of them says that. But we all have a testimony, do we not? We have a testimony how God, how Jesus changed our wicked, filthy, sinful past to glorious future in Christ Jesus. And we can always, we may not be the expert in scripture, but like a blind man whom Jesus healed in this verse, we can all say that once I was blind, but now I can see. Our testimony is a great place where we can start to tell others about Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, who is a great intellectual and a brilliant theologian, would often begin his evangelism with his testimony, presenting gospel to the others, especially in the book of Acts. Why would he, with all that knowledge, with all the theology in his heart, why would he start with a testimony? Because it builds a common ground between him and the people whom he is preaching to. When you shared the testimony, when you share the story of how you came to know Jesus Christ, you're saying, "Been there, done that, I bought the shirts." And so they can tell, "Yeah, I was there, and I can understand what you're going through, or I understand what kind of sinful life you are in." And it build a bridge, it build a common place where we can talk about Jesus Christ. A testimony helps a person to understand that we were not born Christian. It helps them to see that there is a bridge for them and a way for them to come to Christ. Testimony proves that anyone who can change through the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Amen? May I change this slide? A word of a caution for testimony though. Do not emphasize how bad, how filthy, sinful you were. Rather, emphasize on how the Lord changed you. It's not about our ugly and filthy past, but only for the glory of God. Don't get sucked into the silly battle of the testimony. And when you listen to these testimonies, each time you hear the same person's testimony, it gets worse. I was a drug addict using marijuana once. And then they say, well, the next time it's a cocaine, and then next time it's a heroin. It's like, you don't have to emphasize how bad you were. Tell them how God changed you. Apostle Paul is giving us his own personal testimony here in this verse, and give us even shed a rare insight about his own private life. And it never been mentioned in any other places. And I find the three stages the persecutor in verse 13 and 14, and the believers in 15 and 16b, and then rest of them is as the preacher in 16c through 24. So we're going to go one step at a time, but we have to cover the verse 11 and 12. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, it is always joy to come to your presence, to hear from you through your word, your voice. It is not man's word, it's not man-made message, but it's your word, Father. Anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins, because his sins are many. Father, we are asking you to open our heart, our heart, that we may understand how important the testimony of Jesus Christ in our heart to others, because it shows how you changed us. Show us and use us for your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11, please, in chapter 1. But I make known to you, brethren, that gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. In these two verses, Paul gives the theme of this section of the scripture. The message of the Bible really come from God, or is it an achievement or of this man's spiritual and moral search for God? Or if it really come from God, it is the most important fact in the world. But if it just came from the human invention or the achievement, then it is the most dangerous lie in the world. You agree? Because it astrayed so many people. All these Christians, like you and me, we've been believing all these lies from this book, all 66 books. If it's not true, we've been buying this garbage all this time. But this, praise God, this is the truth. There isn't any shortage of people who claim that they have a revelation from God. I'm sure you came across a few people of your own. They said, well, God spoke to me. Fine, but if what they said is jibing with the Word of God, that's fine. Dr. Jo Yong-gi, he has the biggest church in the world. His congregation is about close to 2 million people. Of course, his church cannot contain, so they use a closed circuit TV throughout this whole area and the surrounding area. Once he said he met Jesus, Jesus came to him, and he is in green color. So I was thinking, oh, green giant? Anyway, when you hear that kind of thing, you say, yeah, maybe you had a bad pizza the night before. Because we learn the Bible text itself to prove itself to be reliable, spiritually, prophetically, historically, archaeologically, and scientifically, like no other document in human history, ancient or modern day. We know this from the extensive study we did in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 for 9 weeks. So if you have any lingering thought, any doubt, go back there, and it's in the website available. Best way for Paul to prove his point, what did he do? He kind of flashed back his past on the screen and tell these Galatian believers that what he did and where he was and how God changed. It was a personal testimony. So now we're looking at the first one as a persecutor, finding at the verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Verse 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous for the traditions of my fathers. If you notice, he was exceedingly jealous for the traditions. He was not jealous for the truth of God. In other words, he was more concerned about practice and rituals than the truth of God. Like some movie shows a flashback and the movie character kind of talking about past and going into the time back. Apostle Paul tells the Galatian believers about his past as an unconverted Jewish rabbi and persecutor against Christianity. By persecuting Christian believers, he was profiting and progressing in the Jewish religion as a fast-rising young next generation spiritual leader. at that time, if you were a Jewish person in Jerusalem, you would have heard of Paul's name. And you would say, oh yeah, him, Paul, Saul from Tarsus, he is the man. He's going to be next Sanhedrin. He's going to be the man. According to that book, Acts chapter 8, Paul consented to the murder of Stephen and proceeded to make a havoc of a Christian family by breaking them and throwing them into prison, and so allowing them to be delivered to death as well. He even volunteered to go to Damascus, got approval from the Sanhedrin, so that he can arrest the people, the Christians from Damascus, and bring them back to Jerusalem so he can throw them into prison. What a commitment he had. By doing so, he believed that he thought that he was doing what God wanted him to do. He truly believed that he sincerely believed that he was doing God's favor. Because he thought that Jesus was an imposter as a Messiah, and that the message he taught was nothing more than another lie. Then something happened to him. The Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, became the Paul, the apostle, the preacher of the gospel. This change didn't come along gradually, but rather came suddenly, without a warning. Saul was on the way to the Damascus to persecute the Christian believers. A few days later, he was inside of Damascus, not as a persecutor, but as a preacher of the gospel message, gospel of Jesus Christ, the one he tried to eliminate from the memory of the people's mind. And right there, he declared that Jesus, Christians are right, and Jesus is the Messiah they've been all waiting for. Paul mentioned this fact in his letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Philippians 3, and 1 Timothy 1, and marveling that God could save such a sinner as he. We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15, please. This is a faithful saying, the worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am a chief. Or in some of your Bible might say that I'm a chief sinner. Same translation. Alright, we looked at Paul as the persecutor. Now this time we're going to look at Paul as the believer. After he got saved, verse 15. Back to Galatians 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. Note that, please. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Did you notice one common thing among this, from these verses? Has nothing to do with Paul. Paul was designated, separated from before he even came to birth. And then, it is God who brought him through his grace. It is God who revealed Jesus to him so that Paul could preach Jesus to the Gentiles. And it is God who received the glory from his Gentiles. Paul has nothing to do with the salvation in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul mentioned that he had plenty to boast about as a rabbi, as a teacher of the law of the Old Testament, when he was an unbeliever. But when he met Jesus on the way to Damascus, even though he thought he was righteous, remember portion he said, when it comes to righteousness, perfect, according to Jewish law. His righteousness was reflected against the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he realized what he has, as Isaiah said, is nothing more than filthy rag. Keep your finger there again and go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, please. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Amen? So the Judaism and all the other religions around the world have been an experience of outward ritual and the practices. Even though many of them talk about getting in touch with their inner person. But faith in Jesus Christ bring about the inward experience of the reality with Christ. That is the reason why all the other religions cannot fill the void that we have before Christ came into our heart. They tried, and you tried all with all these other things. Oh, I tried the Buddhism. Didn't go anywhere other than looking at the fat boy. God chose Paul not only to save him, but also to use him to win others. The Lord chose Paul to preach among the Gentiles the same grace that he had experienced. This in itself, guys, listen, this in itself is a miracle. Because no right-minded Jew, the special rabbi, as prejudiced as they are when it comes to the Gentile, would not minister to the Gentile. In their mind, a Gentile is just good for one thing, to rekindle the fire of the hell. That's how they thought about Gentile. They call the Gentile dogs. It's not the same kind of dog we American people have. You know, American dogs are pretty much master over people, but not in Jew and not in Israel. Now we've looked at the third stage, the preacher. Verse 16, third portion. I did not immediately confer with the flesh and blood. Note that, please. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, we went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only that he who formerly persecuted us now preached the faith which he once tried to destroy. Get this, guys, verse 24. They glorify God in me. That's the main reason why we give a testimony, to bring the glory to God. We get to have a rare glimpse of Paul's private life in this section of the scripture, as I mentioned, in the second half of verse 17. Go back there, please. But I went to Arabia, returned again to Damascus. Originally, Paul did not have any personal contact with any apostles. Well, as a matter of fact, he was a persecutor, so he didn't have any friend in Christianity. Nobody wants to be with Paul. Why? No wonder. Why? Because he used to throw people into prison. If he was you or me, right after we got saved, with all the scripture knowledge of the Old Testament we have, probably we would go to Jerusalem, or try to get approval from apostles and guidance. It would be logical, it would be sensible, right? But he didn't do that. He did something you and I would not do often. Rather than going up to Jerusalem, according to his instinct and his own logic, he waited upon the Lord, went to Arabia. Apostle Paul did not travel to what would we call the Saudi Arabia. That's not the same place. The Arabia is what they're known is close to Damascus. And probably he was outside, quiet desert place outside of Damascus. That's where he spent 3 years. What did he do? You know, there's just smidge portion of the description mentioned in the Bible. And that's all. He said, I've been there for 3 years. What did I teach you guys? When the Bible is silent, what do? Silent. So what did he do there? Probably he studied the Word of God and taught by the Holy Spirit. That's as far as we're going to go. We are not going to go anywhere else. When Apostle Paul went back to Damascus, but this time not as a persecutor, but as a Christian, guess what? He was no longer welcomed by the Jewish leaders. Go to the Acts chapter 9, please. Verse 23. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted, this is the Jews within the Damascus wall, plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. Still at this point, he was known as Saul to the people. They watched the gate day and night to kill him. Then disciple took him, this is not a disciple of Jesus, this is a disciple of the Apostle Paul, took him by night, let him down through the wall in a large basket. You can say Paul was totally basket case. When Paul was finally went to the Jerusalem, he only encountered Peter and James, half-brother of Jesus. This is not the first James, the big James, who was beheaded as a first martyr. He stayed there in Jerusalem for 15 days. He didn't receive the apostleship. He didn't get the endorsement, anything. Other than he was encouraged to go to the Gentiles to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later, he stayed in his home area, Tarsus, until he was recruited by the Barnabas, also known as the son of encouragement. So they could go to Antioch, and according to Acts chapter 11. Few believers in Jerusalem heard about the Apostle Paul by then, and they gave glory to God. The Christianity has never started by man with a fancy credential, but only by the grace, mercy, and love of God, and through the power and the resurrection, power of death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many people still looking for the credential of man. To them, seminary degree is far more important than the call of God. I think I mentioned this to you guys. When we ordained the Pastor Jack as assistant pastor, one person was not happy. And she asked, what is the qualification of Pastor Jack? Did he go to the Bible college? Did he go to the seminary? No. What's the qualification? Call of God. You know what she said? She asked, is that all? I thought, wow, if that's the call of God is not enough, boy, we are in trouble. See, some critical scholars accused Paul is corrupting the simple gospel message because he was not one of the original apostles. But the evidence is against this accusation. Same Christ who taught on earth those 11 disciples, he was teaching the Apostle Paul from heaven. And Paul did not invent his teaching, he simply received. I like the way he did. He received and he became a channel of blessing to others. He didn't hold on to it. He gave it to other people. The Judaizers who were poisoning the minds of the believers in the Galatian church during the Paul's day, they insist the gospel plus Moses, gospel plus law, gospel plus legalism. Nothing has changed. We still have a modern-day Judaizer who insists you cannot be truly saved by the grace of God unless you do this. And there's a blank area and you can fill in with the many garbage stuff. Usually joining the group and obeying their rules and regulations, very strict one. Don't fall for it. Two applications. Number one, Unbeliever can choose to ignore what the Bible says, but they cannot ignore what God has done in your life. Amen? Let your life reflect Christ well. Second application, have your brief testimony ready all the time. How Christ changed your life, not emphasizing on how bad you were, rather how wonderful He is. Let's stand up and pray.